Sketches by Boz by Charles Dickens, adapted for radio by Stephen Wyatt. Today's story, The Bloomsbury Christening.
The Bloomsbury Christening was remembered by everyone who attended it for years and years after. Whether the christening was remembered by them with the feelings of joy, familial affection, and hope, which are usually associated with such events, is altogether a different matter. The memory of the event rested particularly hard upon the brain of Mr. Charles Kitterbell, one of the most credulous and matter-of-fact little personages that ever took to himself a wife. And yet it had all begun with the very best of intentions.
Not today, thank you. In fact, not ever, thank you.
Uncle! It's me, Charles.
What?
Charles, your nephew.
Oh, yes, so it is. I thought you were some beggar or busybody.
I know it's been a while.
So, how are you, Charles?
I'm in excellent health, Uncle. And you?
Wretched as ever.
May I come in?
Oh, I suppose so. Now you're here.
Charles Kitterbell's uncle, Mr. Nicodemus Dumps, was a bachelor, 6 feet high and 50 years old, cross, cadaverous, odd, and ill-natured. He was afflicted with a situation in the bank worth $500 a year, and he rented a desirable property in Pentonville, which he had originally taken principally because it commanded a good view of the adjacent graveyard. But his nephew held him and his income in high regard.
Uncle, I have some good news.
I beg leave to doubt it.
But I do.
Good news is but bad news deferred. So, how is life in that overpriced house of yours in Tottenham Court Road?
Great Russell Street, Uncle.
It comes to much the same. You're just paying for a name.
Uncle, we hadn't liked to tell you until we were sure, but Jemima is expecting.
Expecting what?
A little stranger.
Why should she be welcoming someone she's never met?
I mean, we're going to have a baby.
So, is this your good news?
We hoped you'd be pleased.
What an extraordinary notion.
And, Uncle, upon my soul, you must promise to be godfather.
I cannot.
Why not?
I simply cannot.
Well, Jemima will think you very unkind.
I cannot help that.
It's really very little trouble, Uncle.
Oh, I don't mind the trouble. I'm used to trouble. Life's nothing but trouble. It's my nerves. I couldn't possibly go through with the ceremony.
But, Uncle...
You know I don't like going out.
But it's not so very difficult a journey. Oh, do come to the christening, please. If it's a boy, you know we must have two godfathers. And you know how much Jemima and I think of you, sir.
If it's a boy. Can't you say at once whether it's a boy or not?
I'd be very happy to say. Jemima would be very happy to say, but we can't say. Because the child isn't born yet.
Then when is it going to be born?
In a few weeks.
Well, that's something.
Is it?
Well, it might be a girl, so you'd only need one godfather. Or else if it's a boy, well, maybe something will happen to it before it's christened.
Oh, I hope not.
Well, of course, I hope not too, but distressing events do frequently occur during the first 2 or 3 days of a child's life.
Surely,
only Yes. Why, only the other day, one of my neighbours was delivered of an uncommonly fine boy. Rosy cheeks, chubby limbs, and curly hair. And the nurse took the baby out for a constitutional in the graveyard.
She did?
Oh, yes. And I heard this nurse cooing and saying, "Who's a beautiful, bouncing boy?" And then seized with a sudden, joyful impulse, she threw him right up into the air and then reached out her arms to catch him. Only she didn't catch him. She missed.
Oh.
And he hit the ground. And that was that. He may have been a fine, bouncing boy, but on this occasion, he singularly failed to bounce.
Oh.
But that's not to say anything similar will happen to your child, of course.
Of course, but...
So, if it should be a boy, and if it should live to be christened, well, I suppose I would agree to be one of the sponsors.
Thank you, Uncle. Thank you. Perhaps I'd better not tell Mrs. K. Jemima. what you mentioned.
Well, perhaps if she's low-spirited, perhaps it would be best not to mention the baby that didn't bounce to her.
Indeed.
On the other hand,
yes,
it would perhaps but be doing your duty as a husband to prepare her for the worst.
Maybe. But on the other hand, maybe not.
Just as you please, nephew.
It need hardly be said that the whole story of the baby was invented by none other than Mr. Nicodemus Dumps. The only real comfort of his existence was to make everybody about him wretched. Only then could he be said to be truly happy. Indeed, on this particular occasion, Mr. Dumps was peculiarly pleased with himself. He had spread misery, and the chances of him being held to his promise now seemed exceedingly slight. But fate had other plans in store. Perusing a morning paper in his favourite chop house one day, Mr. Dumps discovered the following paragraph.
Births. On Saturday the 18th inst, in Bedford Square, Great Russell Street, to the lady of Charles Kitterbell, Esquire, a son. Oh.
Dear Uncle, you will be delighted to hear that your future godson is getting on capitally.
Oh.
He was very thin at first.
Ah.
But he is getting much larger, and nurse says he is filling out every day. He is a very singular colour, and cries a good deal.
What do they expect?
But, as nurse says, it's natural. And, as of course we know nothing about these things yet, we are quite satisfied with what nurse says.
Fools. She's clearly a menace.
We think he will be a sharp child. And nurse says she's sure he will because he never goes to sleep. You will already believe we are all very happy. Only we are a little worn out for want of rest, as he keeps us awake all night. But nurse says we must expect this for the first 6 or 8 months. He has been vaccinated, but in consequence of the operation being rather awkwardly performed, some small particles of glass were introduced into the arm with the matter. Perhaps this may in some degree account for his being rather fractious. At least so nurse says.
Ignorance is bliss. People never prepare for the worst.
In any case, we propose to have him christened at 12 o'clock on Friday at St. George's Church in Hart Street by the name of Frederick Charles William.
Pray don't be later than 11:45. We shall also have a very few select friends over in the evening. And, of course, dear uncle, we shall look forward to seeing you.
Believe me, dear uncle, yours affectionately, Charles Kitterbell.
What shall I do?
P.S.
Uh-huh.
I open this note again to say that we have just discovered the cause of little Frederick's restlessness. It is not fever as I apprehended.
Damn.
But a small pin, which nurse accidentally stuck in his leg yesterday evening. We have taken it out, and he appears more composed. Though he still sobs a great deal.
The game was well and truly up. Mr. Dumps had given his word, and it was impossible for him now not to keep it. He had to put the best face on it if he could. That is to say, an uncommonly miserable one.
There you are, sir. A finer selection of silver mugs you won't find anywhere.
That one.
Very good, sir. And the initials?
FCWK. And, well, the usual grapevine-looking flourishes people seem to expect on these things.
Very good, sir. That'll be 15 guineas, you know.
15 guineas? For a christening mug. Oh.
How different the scenes of domestic rapture at Bedford Square, where Mrs. Kitterbell was taking advantage of the unwonted silence of her firstborn to take a little well-earned rest. Mrs. Kitterbell was a tall, thin young lady with very light hair and a particularly white face. In fact, one of those young women who invariably, though one hardly knows why, recall to one's mind the idea of a cold fillet of veal.
Jemima, my love! Jemima!
What is the matter, Charles?
Old Numps has accepted.
Old Numps?
Uncle Nicodemus, he's accepted.
You sound delighted.
I am, aren't you?
He does sound such a very grumpy old man.
Oh, not at all. That's just his teasing ways. He's got a heart of gold. You'll be able to wind him round that little finger of yours.
Will I?
Of course. And remember, my love...
Remember what?
Uncle Numps has no heirs.
That's sad for him.
But he does have money.
That must be a comfort to him.
Jemima, he has a considerable amount of money.
Oh, you mean...
Who knows, but if he should take a fancy to little Frederick...
Who could fail?
My sentiments entirely. Now do you see why I want him at Frederick's christening?
Oh, my dear far-sighted darling.
Monday had been a fine day. Tuesday was delightful. Wednesday was equal to either, and Thursday was finer than ever. Four successive fine days in London. Dumps had beheld it all with an eye of supreme contempt. He knew that if it had been fine for 4 weeks instead of 4 days, it would rain when he went out on Friday. And it did. And so an extremely sodden Mr. Dumps arrived on the staircase of the house in Bedford Square. At first, he was too exhausted to be his old cantankerous self.
Uncle, it's good to see you. We're delighted you were able to make it. Not too difficult a journey after all, eh?
Well, I am...
Here's Mrs. Kay. Jemima, my dear. My uncle.
Hello.
I think you've met Jemima before, haven't you, Uncle?
Yes, I think... Yes, I believe so. I don't recollect the circumstances, but yes, no doubt we've probably met at some family funeral or other.
No doubt. Yeah. But then, of course, any friend of Charles, much less a relation, is, of course, a friend or relation of mine. Mm.
Beautifully expressed, my love. I knew you'd say so. Bless you.
The last two words were accompanied by a simper and a squeeze of the hand which began to stir up all Uncle Dumps's bile.
Come along, Frederick. Say hello to the kind gentleman.
Ah, here comes Nurse with our little pride and joy. Look, Frederick, here's your Uncle Nicodemus.
Bless the little angel.
Now, Uncle, tell us, who do you think he's like?
Oh, yes, who? Do tell.
Very small, isn't he? Remarkably small indeed.
Do you think so?
He's a monster to what he was.
Obesity is a terrible curse.
But that's babies for you. Grow, grow, grow.
So, who is he like?
I've really no idea. He's certainly very pink.
You don't think he's like me?
No, decidedly not.
Oh, then is he like Jemima?
Not in the least.
That's what I've been telling them.
I'm no judge, of course, in such cases, but what I think he's more like is one of those little carved representations that one sometimes sees blowing a trumpet on a tombstone.
Anything the matter, Nurse?
Oh, no, of course not, sir. He's a little angel.
Well, Uncle, you'll be able to tell who he is or isn't like by and by. In the meantime, we should be leaving. We're to meet the other godfather and the godmother at the church. Mr. and Mrs. Wilson from over the way. Mm. Uncommonly nice people, aren't they, my dear?
Oh, exceedingly.
My love, are you well wrapped up?
Oh, yes, my darling.
You're sure, my treasure?
Oh, of course, my own.
Uncle Dumps's bile rose still further. On the way to the church, he amused Mrs. Kitterbell by expatiating largely on the danger of measles, thrush, teeth cutting, and other interesting diseases to which children are subject.
Dearly beloved, ye have brought this child here to be baptized. I demand, therefore, dost thou, in the name of this child, renounce the devil and all his works, the vain pomp and glory of the world, with all the covetous desires of the same?
I renounce them all.
The ceremony took about 5 minutes, since the clergyman had to dine some distance from town and had 2 churchings, 3 christenings and a funeral to perform in something less than an hour. The whole affair went off in the usual businesslike and matter-of-course manner, except when in handing the baby to the clergyman, Mr. Dumps nearly let him fall into the font.
Well, that's done, nephew.
Indeed.
I'll send along the christening mug.
But what about the party?
Oh, you know I'm not a party-going man, if you...
Well, you can't miss all the fun.
I'm a little old for that kind of thing.
It'll be the quietest of gatherings, just a few close friends. Nothing untoward, I promise. You can't disappoint us.
I was contemplating an early night. The journey here, you see.
Was unfortunate, I know, but the rain stopped now.
All the same, I'm feeling tired.
No, no, Uncle, I insist.
Oh, but...
You'll enjoy it, I know you will.
Oh...
And so evening came, and the depressed godfather dressed himself in his pumps, black silk stockings, and white cravat.
Well, what's a few hours? After all, life is a cruel waste of time from beginning to end. Now, where did I put that silver mug?
Ah, yes. Here we are.
He sallied forth once again in the direction of the Kitterbells' house. The weather was now tolerably fine, and so he decided to walk. As he was crossing the corner of Hatton Garden, however...
Mind where you're going, can't you see?
Are you all right, sir? Oh,
that drunkard... He bumped straight into me.
Oh, men like him are a public disgrace. Here, sir, let me help you up.
Thank you.
Your attire is a little disarranged. Allow me.
Oh, thank you.
So, how are you feeling?
A little unsteady.
Where are you walking?
Towards Great Russell Street.
Then allow me to accompany you, at least as far as Furnival's Inn, where I'm going myself.
Oh, that's really very civil of you, sir.
It's no trouble, sir. Come, take my arm.
The genteel young man in the kindest manner walked with him and talked most amiably as he walked. Dumps, still shaken, felt for about the first time in his life grateful and polite. He and the gentlemanly-looking young man parted with mutual expressions of goodwill.
Well, here we must part. Are you composed enough to continue now?
Indeed. Thank you, inestimably, sir. Oh. You almost restore my faith in human nature. Good night, and God bless.
And good night to you, sir.
So, there are at least some well-disposed men in the world.
And so, feeling almost benign, Dumps went on his way. But fate was not finished with him. As he stood on his nephew's doorstep, he heard the unmistakable sound of revelry within.
Oh, no. There's music and laughter. It's a large party.
Uncle, it's good to see you. Come in.
Come in. We've had the carpet taken up in the back drawing room, and the piano and the card tables are in the front. Jemima thought we'd better have a regular sit-down supper in the front parlour, because of all the speechifying and all that. We're relying on you, Uncle.
What?
Mr. Wilson's not up to it at all, and... What's the matter? Have you lost something?
I'm not sure. I thought I...
Is it your pocketbook?
No.
Your card case?
No.
Your snuff box? The key of your lodgings?
No, no.
Not the silver mug you spoke of this morning?
Yes. I'm afraid. The silver mug.
But how could you have done it? Are you sure you brought it out with you?
Oh, yes. See it all. Miserable dog that I am. It seems I was born to suffer. That'll teach me to put any faith in humanity. Oh, yes, I see it all. It was the gentlemanly-looking young man when he helped me to my feet.
So it's definitely gone?
No doubt of it.
Oh, well. No use crying over spilt milk, I suppose. Come through.
What?
Mr. Dumps followed him as tractably as a tamed bear. His head was full of self-reproach. That he had been duped was just the way of the world. That he had allowed himself for even a moment to trust in human benevolence and disinterested concern was unforgivable.
So remember, waste not, want you, as the tailor once said.
Oh, Mrs. Sparkins, I feel here, I shall burst with laughter.
Now, Uncle, I want you to meet my good friend Horatio Sparkins. He's such a splendid fellow. Quite the life and soul of the party. And this is my cousin Emily. Horatio, my uncle Nicodemus.
Sir, I have great pleasure in congratulating you on your first appearance in the character of a father.
I beg your pardon?
A godfather, I mean.
See what I mean? A real wag. I'll leave you to get better acquainted.
But Charles...
Relax, Uncle. Enjoy yourself.
It's very warm here.
Yes, but it was warmer yesterday.
Mr. Sparkins! Have you heard Mr. Sparkins imitate the French horn by any chance?
I've not had that pleasure.
Well, then one day I shall have to give you a blow-by-blow account. Blow-by-blow.
Dumps. Here comes Nurse, the little Frederick. Isn't he an angel? Such dear little arms. Did you ever see such a sweetheart, Mr. Dumps?
I'm sure Mr. Dumps would like to hold his godson.
No, really, there's no need. Well, it does indeed look very much like a baby. Well, and a lively little fellow, too.
Uncle Nicodemus, come and dance.
No, really, I'd rather not.
But you must. I'm sure you dance beautifully.
I've not danced for 35 years.
Oh, then it's time you danced again. Come on. And after the dancing's over, we have a special treat. Cousin Emily is to sing for us.
From love's shining circle, the gems drop away. When troughs lie withered, and fond ones are flown, oh, who would inhabit this bleak world?
The curious thing was that as convivial horror was heaped on convivial horror, Mr. Dumps became almost benign. Indeed, you might have thought he was reconciled to enjoying himself. Well, in a manner of speaking, he was. He had devised a plan for himself, a little bit of fun in his own way, and thinking about it, he was almost happy.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you. Will you have the kindness to charge your glasses? I would like to call upon my uncle, Mr. Nicodemus Dumps.
Ladies and gentlemen, in accordance with what is, I believe, the established usage on these occasions, I, as one of the godfathers of Master Frederick Charles William Kitterbell, venture to propose a toast. I need hardly say that it is the health and prosperity of that young gentleman, the particular event of whose early life we are met to celebrate.
Look at dear Emily.
Asleep in nurse's arms, the little angel.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is impossible to suppose that our friends here, whose sincere well-wishers we all are, can pass through life without some trials, considerable suffering, severe affliction, and heavy losses.
Here the arch-traitor paused and slowly drew forth a long white pocket handkerchief. His example was followed by several ladies.
That these terrible trials may be long spared them is my most earnest prayer, my most fervent wish.
Oh, yes.
I hope and trust, ladies and gentlemen, that the infant whose christening we have this evening to celebrate, may not be removed from the arms of his parents by premature decay.
Yes!
May his young and now apparently healthy form not be wasted by lingering disease or any of the manifold plagues to which an infant can so easily succumb.
Oh, Charles.
Courage, my dear.
We all, I'm sure, concur with me in wishing that he may manage to live on, to be a comfort and blessing to his parents.
Here.
But, should he not be what we wish?
Oh, no.
Should our happy hopes for his future be blighted by the faults of his nature?
Oh, no.
Should he forget in after times the duty which he owes his parents?
Oh, no, it is too much.
Should it be his parents' unhappy fate to experience that distracting truth so often apparent in the world about us, where hopes are daily blighted, that distracting truth which warns us all, how sharper than a serpent's tooth it is, to have a thankless child.
Oh, no, I can't bear it. Stop it, please.
My love, be calm.
And then, of course, worse, perhaps, even than filial ingratitude, there is moral corruption. Let us fervently hope that the young Frederick will never steep his hand in infamy and turn to debauchery or violence or crime.
Mrs. Kitterbell was immediately conveyed to her apartment. The musician was silenced, flirting ceased, and the company slowly departed. Mr. Kitterbell abandoned all hopes of a legacy for his son there and then. There was, however, among the guests a general impression in Mr. Dumps's favour, for despite Mrs. Kitterbell's sensitivity, people like sentiment. Mr. Dumps left the house at the commencement of the bustle. He walked home with a light step and, for him, a cheerful heart. His landlady, who slept in the next room, has offered to make oath that after he had locked his door, she heard him laugh in his peculiar manner. The assertion, however, is so improbable, and bears on the face of it such strong evidence of untruth, that it has never obtained credence to this hour.
In the Bloomsbury christening, Nicodemus Dumps was played by Geoffrey Whitehead, Charles Kitterbell, Charles Simpson, and Jemima Kitterbell, Alison Reed. Robert Harper was Sparkins, and Elaine Pike, the nurse. The voice of Boz was Nicholas Farrell. Other parts were played by members of the cast. Sketches by Boz was adapted by Stephen Wyatt and directed by Sally Evans.